Welcome to a new episode of the DIRDAC podcast, the podcast on reliable alerting for critical systems. Get ready to geek out with Michael Samuelson, Director of Strategic Alliances and Partners at Crosser Technologies. Michael drops some serious knowledge bombs on how Crosser's edge computing platform is shaking up manufacturing, healthcare, and smart agriculture. Learn how the platform does its magic by processing data locally, centralizing management, and letting users add custom code or trained machine learning modules. And if that's not enough, they also chat about how Crosser's platform integrates with Signal 4 and helps businesses tackle incidents in real time. Enjoy listening.
Welcome to our new episode. I'm very much looking forward to our guest today, Michael Samuelson. Hello, Michael.
Hello, how are you?
Very well, thank you very much. You are the Director of Strategic Alliances and Partners at Crosser Technologies. Yes. Can you tell us a bit more about yourself and about your position in Crosser?
Absolutely. I have spent the last 25 plus years in high-tech, high-growth companies around the world. I've been fortunate to work quite internationally. I spent 6 years in the US, and quite recently I spent 3 years in Australia, but been working with both customers and partners in most of the continents or countries. And now I am based out of Sweden, Stockholm, and I'm focusing on the partnerships that we need to have in our industry to create a lot of positive momentum in the market with customers. So my focus right now is really about proof of value, customer value. That is what I'm really passionate about. And just a little bit short information or background to Crosser.
Yeah, so, indeed. Yeah, that would be my next question. Yeah.
Good. So Crosser is a all-in-one streaming analytics and integration platform or software that we can connect to various data sources. We can process and analyze data in real time, and then we can connect to relevant destinations for those insights. And we, in most use cases, we do this very close to the data sources. In many cases, this is on-premise on the factory level or very close to where the data is generated. And we do this with a low-code approach, defining what type of data you have available, what data processing that you would like to do, what type of algorithms and machine learning capabilities that you would like to use to arrive at your insights and where to connect the results. And having the low-code approach makes it a lot easier for the different stakeholders, OT, IT, and data science to collaborate to successfully deploy use cases.
I see. Okay. So typical customers are production companies. So you are using, or they are using Crosser in factories and on the shop floor?
We have a large variety of customers, but like you point out, a lot of them have the industrial background. So a lot of discrete manufacturing as well as process industries, but I would say also asset-rich organizations. So it doesn't necessarily need to be a machine or on a production floor. It can be remote assets working out in the field, in the woods or the forests, or in mining environments, or in fleet management, etc. So there's a lot of different verticals that benefit from processing and then analyzing data in real time close to the data sources, regardless if you're in the industrial environment or if you happen to be in smart agriculture, smart buildings, smart cities, smart healthcare, smart almost anything. So we do have customers outside of the industrial markets as well. So we have customers, for example, one of the global satellite operators who would like to, for obvious reasons, process data on the ground before using the satellite links for the relevant insights. And one of the major cruise line operators who where all the each ship is like a small city with hundreds of different use cases and a large number of assets that needs to be monitored and maintained, and limited resources that needs to be managed and utilized in the smartest way. and all in combination with a very limited connectivity to the cloud. So being able to do things and execute locally is of essence.
Yeah, that's what I've thought, because when you mentioned fleet management, for example, you usually have a more limited bandwidth. And if I understand correctly, Crossair comes with a cloud component as well, right? So you're exchanging data from the edge device or where the data is generated to your cloud platform. Is this correct?
We have a local execution of data processing, but centralized management. So we do have a centralized management component where you define what type of data sources you have available, what type of data processing that you would like to do to support your use case, and where you would like the insights to go. And this is managed in a cloud-based drag and drop control center, if you like. But there is no asset data going to the Crossair cloud functionality. That is only used for configuration and management of the deployed edge runtimes, edge nodes. So all the processing happens in the edge nodes in the runtime, and you define where you would like the data to go when it's analyzed and processed.
Yeah, I think this is a big advantage when it comes to data privacy, which is a big topic, of course, as well, especially in production industries and in many European companies, especially.
Absolutely. And also from latency points of view, in many use cases, you would like to act absolutely immediately when you detect something that is out of line or out of order. And so that's also a reason to process data or analyze data close to the sources or on-premise.
You also mentioned low code.
Yes.
And yeah, no code is a big buzzword. And I read on your website that you are not a no code platform, but a low code platform. And that's very important for you. Can you elaborate a bit more about this?
So basically, the low-code platform we have, where you have a drag-and-drop user interface for defining your data sources, your data processing, and your data destinations, consists of a large library of different modules representing different functions that you can do and different connectors to sources and to destinations. But of course, even if this library is very large and is continuously growing, you might always have a need for a different specific task or operation that you would like to do. And then we have the possibility to provide code modules where you can put in your own Python code or something else, or C# code that you would like to use. And also, of course, there is a number of settings that you just need to adapt in terms of what is the IP address of the data source and such. Having the flexibility to add your own specific code or a trained machine learning model makes it just as easy to use as using all of the predefined functionality modules that we have in our current library.
I see. Okay, so if you have your data analyst and you have your data models and you have all your data in the system already, you can just integrate with this one and then connect this to Crossair easily.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We also see that there's a need not only to connect machines to systems, but sometimes also systems to systems. The data sources can be of various nature, can be a traditional machine, but it can also be computer vision or cameras, or it can be a CRM system or another source of data where you want to automate the data flow into your ERP system or other systems that you have.
All right. Yeah, so now we are not living in an ideal world, so things can break and there might be certain incidents on the machine or somewhere in the field. What are typical use cases when it comes to incidents, so critical incidents or not too critical incidents? And who needs the information and what do they do with this information?
Yeah, I think that varies a lot between the different use cases and different verticals as well. But I think that critical alarms really need reliably reach the right destination for immediate attention and action. And that can be sometimes be the operator of a process line or a machine or an asset, or it can be a plant operator, it can be a decision maker, take a decision on a higher aggregation level. But I think that it is important that you to a high degree automate the notification part of the system to minimize the human error factor and also prevent unexpected situations like message overload, because there is something that is triggering a huge number of alerts or alarms, and also prevent false alarm detection, so that you can have as a reliable system as possible in place that you have automated. I think that is a critical part of the area that you're asking.
So this is matching our experience. So when you are in the shop floor and when you are a production manager, you don't have the time to go to each and every machine and to see or to listen whether this performs well, or to look at each and every dashboard. And therefore, it's very useful to get the information or to get the alert when something really needs your attention. Yeah? And when it comes to distributed systems, this is even more useful, I guess, yeah, because sometimes if you have an oil and gas station or some pump somewhere in the field, there is even no personnel on site.
So in certain cases, it's the human machine interface that needs to receive the alert for someone to, like an operator, to act. Or sometimes it's a dashboard, sometimes it's an SMS based alarm or visual or audible alarm, and sometimes mm-hmm. it's an automated phone call to someone who is not on site, like you say, and needs to do some action to prevent further damage.
Mm. Yeah, indeed. So this is where Signal 4 might be beneficial for the customer here. So we'll come to this a bit later. I have another question regarding the integration. Sometimes customers approach us and say, okay, we have a machine and this machine is 30 years old and we need to connect and to get information about whether the machine works well or not too well. And there is rarely a socket, so a power supply on the machine. So do you have any ideas how to connect to machines where you have not the modern interfaces you see on a Hanover Fair trade show, but a bit older machines?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a huge brownfield environment out there, especially in the industrial space and many other verticals as well, I believe. But sometimes you, like you say, you have analog machines, or you have machines that are not from the beginning equipped with sensors, or where it's not easy to integrate sensors into the machine, and then you can have external sensor types like vibration analysis, like temperature analysis, like computer vision. We have seen examples where a computer, you know, where a camera is put in front of an analog gauge, and then just looking at how the gauge is moving, and with the image interpretation, you can in a sense digitalize a completely analog machine.
Yeah, you can even send an image along, so to see the gauge where you see the actual value there.
Absolutely, because because it's a non-intrusive way of digitalization, and because in a lot of brownfield environments, you don't want to mess with something that is already working. So opening up a machine and put the sensors inside of that is not necessarily a desirable way forward. So having something that is external and non-intrusive is a benefit in a lot of cases.
Absolutely. So a lot of people don't know how to open the machine, and if they know how to open it, they don't want to open it because of guarantee issues, of course. Yeah. So therefore, it's a good way to put something on the machine from the outside. Yeah. All right. What are typical challenges when it comes to alerting? Or do you have one or two examples about alerting use cases, and what kind of information is helpful for the engineer to solve or to resolve the problem?
Figuring out in advance what type of action that you would like to have for a specific incident is something that is helping in many situations. So there is a clear action to what should be done when a specific incident is arising. So that is one thing that you can automate to a high degree by thinking about this in advance. And then also, like we discussed, the human error, eliminating as much as possible of that with you know, like not noticing or not knowing exactly what to do or not receiving the message because someone forgot to do something that was essential in the process. So automating that, I think, is a large benefit for any type of use case that you have out there. And then, of course, yeah. Communication failures. You might have to have backup alternatives for conveying a message to wherever it needs to go if you have remote assets or machines in the mm-hmm. field that has unreliable connectivity. Then you need to have backup ways of communication.
Not too long ago, we integrated Signal 4 with Crosshair. So Signal 4 is available as a way to alert teams and users within Crosshair or from within Crosshair. And do I understand correctly that if the alert goes out, the alert information goes directly from the company to Signal 4, or does it go to the Crosshair cloud platform first and then to Signal 4?
There is no asset data going to the Crosshair platform or the Crosshair cloud platform, or we can call it the Crosshair control center. So that is only used for setting up a system and configuration and monitoring. The data would go directly from the edge environment where it's processed and being analyzed mm-hmm. and directly to Signal 4.
Wow, so, I see. Yeah, this is a big advantage here because people asking for, okay, where does your data go to?
Exactly. No, we mm-hmm. we don't expose any customer data or asset data in the Crosshair cloud control center. So mm-hmm. it's defined by the customer to where the data comes from, what do you want to do with it, and where the results or the analyzed data goes.
All right. Yeah, so Signal 4 makes it easy to alert people using different channels, using on-call scheduling and escalation and so on and so forth. And it also comes with one feature called remote actions, where you can execute remote activities from your mobile app. This is usually used for IT use cases where you want to manually or semi-manually restart a machine or execute a script. Do you see any use cases for those kinds of remote actions in the production field?
It's always important to be able to do that immediately. You need to work smarter and more automated in general. I think that is a very strong trend.
We came across a few use cases, but not too many because, in IT, security is an issue, but in production, it's even more an issue. Yeah, because if you want to stop or restart a machine, there might be real human health at risk. So therefore, if there are some use cases, it's maybe switching off a light or switching on a light, something like that, but not something, more than that.
In general, I think it's important to understand the impact of the anomaly that is detected. Like you say, is this critical? Is this something where it needs absolutely immediate action or is this something that we should be aware of for the next shift or for something else?
Yeah, so shift handover, this is also a big topic. And do you see some tendency from your customers? So in the IT world, I can say, okay, there is a clear tendency to go from on-premise into the cloud. And is there something like this in the production world as well, or is it a bit more conservative?
The maturity of the entire industrial field is very different. Some companies have come a long, far way on their digital journey, and some are in the beginning of their journey. So that is very big difference between different players in the IoT arena. And I think that you just need to adapt to where you are right now and the steps that are natural as the next steps for you, because it is a long journey and I'm not sure it's going to end. So it's a continuous journey for sure to act smarter and more efficiently. But it's inevitable that is the direction that we are moving, and you want to do things with more insight rather than being just general.
Mikael, thank you very much for the interview. It was very insightful. I learned a lot because this is not my home turf. We are coming more from the IT angle, And therefore, it's always very, very exciting for me to learn about the IoT or production world.
Great.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ron.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You heard Ron and Michael talking about real-time incident management with Crosser and Signal 4. More about DIRDAC and Signal 4 can be found in the show notes or on signal4.com. Until next time, stay alerted.